Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day! Day by day! We get better and better!
We get better
and better!
We get
beat! We get beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
They came in here to kick our butts, and they did.
Ouch! How are you? Welcome to it. Monday edition, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmitz, TJ Henning producing, co-hosting. Still Papa Bear time for Jay Moore. Hope you're doing all right. I'm back. Didn't leave. Not happy. But I'm in a happier spot than many Nebraska fans on a Monday. It's Give Big Red Faithful a Hug Monday. We're going to start a drive, okay? You see a Nebraska fan, even if they're not a hugger, fist pound them and give them a hug. You got no good recruiting news. Your volleyball team is awesome and lost to Texas. You watched or you attended or I don't know what you did, but Nebraska lost to Gardner Webb. I was so nervous for TJ Henning as the
our pets' heads are falling off. What else?
We got no foods. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off. Although, that's exactly what came to my mind.
Although,
that's beautiful.
I don't think you missed much of a that Broncos-Patriots game. I don't think that was
no,
a great game.
No, here's what happened, all right? So we'll get into things that you care about in a minute. Supposed to leave on Friday. Pharmacist Jeff and the family truckster and as he calls his father, old man, Mike, brother Kyle, and then a contingent of folks in western Nebraska and even some Colorado peeps. We're supposed to all meet. And as you know, Friday was the day to move out of Nebraska. Pure ice, grab your hockey mask because you can tend goal on the driveway with the ice. And it was moving west to east. I wasn't driving. I was protecting the cooler. So it's who am I to like scream like a two-year-old in the toy aisle if I get a phone call that says, you know, probably not going to happen today. God love Greg Smith and TJ Henning for covering the show. So we didn't do anything on Friday. Up early, usually here Saturday morning for the Hail Varsity Weekend Edition. Kranak and TJ again, God love you for handling it. And it was just, it wasn't good. It didn't look good Saturday. So technically, you could have left Sunday morning. But at that point, around halftime of the Denver-New England game, I get a text from pharmacist Jeff that said, boy, it's cold here. So either the people he sold the tickets to were braving the elements in a bad football game, or they just didn't want me to go, which is highly possible. I am a good time on road trips, but I understand that. So the December vacation is not to be. I did see Junior make a kid cry yesterday in basketball, and they won their tournament.
It's because he was making so many buckets. Is that why he's making him cry?
No, he tends to have
elbow.
He tends to have an anger issue when there's a jump ball on the floor.
Okay.
And he arm barred some kid, and ripped it away. That's something that his mother has taught him, the arm bar part and the making people cry part. 466-3776, 466-3776. 761-800-825-5865. Nebraska basketball losing to Gardner Webb. We'll get into recruiting. Brandon Vogel is 15 minutes away from HailVarsity.com and magazine. Uncle Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie in an hour in 10 minutes. And former Husker standout, Pride of Lincoln Southeast, Jake Mielheisen with us at 525. Tim Miles yesterday after another what the hell moment.
Really, I mean, the issue's us, too. I mean, we it's us, and it's our mindset. And, you know, we just, you know, you just go across the line, and you can find something wrong with production, but that ultimately founds to me getting guys in the right place. I mean, this is on me.
It is, and this is also a different tone post-game than it was Creighton. kind of a lot of blame. And players got to play, players got to shoot, players got to score, players got to execute. They didn't care yesterday. You didn't care yesterday, and that's okay. 8,000 of you at PBA. Again, minus Winchill, who's Gardner Webb? Why is it scheduled? They didn't want to be there. They've been through a death march schedule-wise. They've taken finals. The Friday practice was garbage, it sounds like. They just don't care. So I have a list of questions to ask, and we will try and answer about Nebraska basketball. There's a vocal shouting match going on via social media and out there in the Twitter and radio sphere. Well, it's time to move on from Tim, because that's what you're trained to do the last 20 years as a Nebraska fan, post Osborne and name a sport. Things suck right now. Let's just fire somebody and hire somebody new. It's what's been going on. And you're still searching. And either you're in the camp of Tim's a victim of his own success, year two, tournament run, or the brains behind the operation was Craig Smith. He's gone now, and look where Nebraska basketball's at, to, well, you have the talent here, why isn't it winning? To, well, they're young, give them another year. I mean, those are your multiple choice questions. My questions, has this team checked out? Is it Charlie Brown's teacher in the locker room? Never could understand her, so you stopped listening. Is there any hope that they're going to get better? Will he develop them and get them better? Is there any belief in this offense, either personnel or scheme? And last night, yesterday, was that your I'm done moment? Not necessarily with the coach, but I'm done with Nebraska basketball this year till they do something nice. I believe it was, out of all of these questions I'm asking, it was your I'm done moment. I said after the Creighton game that you may have been verging towards that. And I'm not encouraging you to do one thing or another. I'm not on the fence here. I think you've got the clock, you know, on Tim Miles started this summer without the extension. So you have 3.5 years, 4 years on his deal, 3.5 years. You didn't extend him once. Are you going to extend him again at the end of this season if you're Sean Eichhorst? That's what's in play here. Do you turn things around enough to make a case for yourself that guys will get better, the team will be better, the team will be competitive? There's a billion, 100, top 100 recruits apparently on this roster. Some may have started shaving, some have been shaving for a while. But all of that needs to come together and produce results and competitiveness. And how are you playing? Are you losing by 10 to UCLA and you leave going, man, that was nice. UCLA's sick. They're so good. They're talented. How'd they beat Kentucky? And by the way, can we get a guy named Malik here? Not without a bag man, a Rolls Royce, and a private jet. Kind of realize what and who you are, too, as you demand and scream for firings. You're the same program that 4 years ago you got hot and made a tournament run. You still have good talent. They're not producing. And it comes down to, have they checked out, and are they going to get developed and be better? Are they put in position to succeed? Are they playing out of position? You got a lot of questions that, yes, 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 no. I mean, you're going through this in your own mind. We got to figure out, too, if they have bottomed out, or is the worst yet to come, or do they respond? How's Tim Miles handle this? Is he finger-pointing in the locker room? Is he pushing the right buttons? Is he hitting the destruct button? That's why he's paid a ton of money. And from an extension standpoint, if you're Eichhorst, you have now till February to figure out what direction are they going. Because, listen, you don't give him a five-year extension. You don't go Peterson here on anybody. I get that. But he can't be a head coach with 3 years left on his contract. You can't do that. from a recruiting standpoint, he's at least got to have four. So there's going to have to be an extension if you're going to keep him for at least a year. Or he just twists away and you damage it awfully for the next guy if you go find the next guy. There's coaches out there. You've built the facilities. You've invested in it. You've already got a tournament, but you want more. And based on what recruiting rankings say, you're supposed to have more. Everyone else can throw a freshman in there and he can be awesome. Well, there's a gap between what Kentucky's got and what Nebraska has when they're asking a freshman to go score 47. So my point right now is it's just in Tim Miles' court, and he's going to stay off Twitter, obviously.
Yep.
It's in his court right now to coach up, build up, and stay positive, and God love you, God, good luck, God bless, doing that as toxic as it gets around here when things go badly. Because that's what you're in. You're in a hurricane right now, and this is just Gardner Webb. But it's an accumulation of looking stagnant and unpolished on offense with a group of groceries to make a great meal, technically on paper. And it's underachieving the last 2 years with talent, specifically the year after, the remnants of the year after you went to the tournament with the same cats back. So this is a culmination of things, and this is your third who the hell are they loss. So all of that is super negative, doesn't look good. We'll see if he can turn it around. But again, do you care anymore? Is there apathy? And do you want him to turn it around? I mean, that's really up to you, the Nebraska fan. Do you care about this guy as your head coach? Do you like him as your head coach? Well, yeah, his personality's great. Is he doing it for you on the court? And he's had moments where he has, or he's had staff in place to help him produce on court. It's gone downhill since someone left for South Dakota. That's the plain and simple truth. And you have top 50 recruits in here, and you have an emphasis. You have one, sorry. You have top 100 recruits in here. So you have brought in the talent. The facilities have helped. You need the return on the investment for on-court performance. And if you're a Nebraska fan and you're sane, you're in the conversation for a tournament to the a trip to the NCAA every 5 years. Okay? That is acceptable. You're postseason NIT bound 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 years. Be good with that. But losing to a Gardner Webb or an Incarnate Word or Sanford, is that right?
Yep.
Okay. That can happen. And if that does happen, you need to flip it around and have more no-sit Sunday, no-sit Saturday type wins. You need to, for every Incarnate Word there is, for any Gardner Webb there is, you need a Wisconsin-Michigan State win every year. And right now it's looking bleak and awful.
Yeah, which we
have. Here's my rant. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
But I think yesterday's the day you said, you didn't break up with him, but they're taking a break.
Yeah, which is odd. We've beaten Michigan State 3 years in a row.
And no one, you know what?
Yeah. So I had a lot of texts with friends yesterday, and they were kind of saying they're done. This is the end for them with Miles.
Should we start playing The Doors and get Jim Morrison involved?
I don't think I'm there yet, although I'm close. I didn't attend yesterday, even though I went to Incarnate Word. I went to Sanford. Did not go to Gardner-Webb, although I planned to. But so this is more like University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I remember when we lost that back in 08. Not a good win. Got a question a little bit where this offense is headed right now. It was good the first five games of the season.
Do they have the personnel on offense to succeed?
Not for outside shooting.
No, they don't. And guess what? Ty Webb's a really good player. He's kind of coming to his own. He's going to have four guys on him because no one else seems to be able to score.
Yeah.
Morrow's a beast down low, and he gives 1,000%. And then there's Watson. Where's his head at right now? He's been benched. How does he respond? Well, he had double digits yesterday.
Why are you benching your second best player?
Well, is he being soft in practice or not? Maybe it's a lesson. Maybe it's a method. Andrew White says, "Let's get the hell out of here."
He's moved all around. But yeah,
point. But you've got everyone. Just I'm out, bro. Maybe there's smoke here with being able to take Timmy. Maybe he wears you out. Yeah. I don't know that. I'm not in the locker room, but there's a history of mass exodus.
Yeah, and you also have guys. It also has to be a little bit on the players, a little bit. You have Jack McVay, who just looks completely lost out there. If he can't shoot, I don't know what he's doing out there.
You've gone the international route for two big recruits and the armchair Nebraska basketball fans. Well, you could have got in state, guys. Look at Creighton. Well, I understand that, but you've got a different history of development with what they've done there.
Yeah, and I understand Jacob was sick yesterday, but, man, he did not play well down the stretch. Anton Gill is still giving you nothing. 26 minutes, just really an empty stat.
I mean, you're reaching out because you feel like you got to keep – again, victim of your own success. You've won early, so that's the expectation. And that needs to be checked a bit. Let's look at Cut 10 because Tim Miles asked point blank by Lee Barfnik yesterday about how do you react to this? And, you know, it's year five, brother.
I would have never dreamt – in 5 years, this is where we'd be losing to Gardner-Webb. And that's not to discredit Gardner-Webb, but we're not at a state that we're not where we should be.
No, you're not. He knows that. What do they do with it? Is this the bottoming out moment? Do they respond? Do you care anymore? Maybe you're out. Wake me up when they do something. Great to be back with you on a Monday. Lot to get to today on Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogel coming up. More of your calls on the way as we continue.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Charlie McBride less than an hour away. Jake Milhuizen 1 hour away. Brandon Vogel momentarily. Tom has dialed us up here at Hail Varsity Radio. Tom, go ahead. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, thank you. I was at the game yesterday, and it's never a good sign when you can hear Jacobson bouncing the basketball before he shoots the free throw.
It's that dead and that quiet, brother.
Even well, it's supposed to be quiet, but this was just a little ridiculous. With the talent we have offensively, I don't really know what they could run to be effective to try to get more points on the board. They really don't have a true center they could run anything through, and I don't know if they try to clear the floor when the other teams are playing man to have Ty Webster or maybe
isolate him
to go to the hole to try to get something going.
No, and those are things that need to be asked and answered and given. To be honest with you, I mean, you need to see that on the floor. And you have a bunch of nice parts, but are they all the same puzzle pieces is my question.
I know it. It's like they're trying to put a rectangular piece in a square hole. It's just not quite fitting.
Right. And that's something he's up against, but that's also something he's recruited.
That's true. It's to the point where he's almost got to own it. And God, as much as I like the guy, if they could almost talk Dan Altman to come back from Oregon, I wouldn't be against it too much.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Tom.
Thank you.
You've heard names already because it's at that point where, it's time to move on to the next guy. There's that cloud out there.
Quickly, before we get to Vogue, though, I'm just curious what people's expectations were before the season, because I predicted 500, but realistically, I thought they were going to be 2 to 4 games under 500.
If you're at 500, you
lose your two best players, and you end up playing the toughest schedule so far. Like, you're probably not going to be that great.
Losing and being around 500 is one thing. To go as devil's advocate here.
Yep.
Getting whacked by Gardner Webb is a complete another.
For sure.
And it's the third time in 3 years that that you're paying someone to come in and lay it out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they ransack your room and roll you. And then they leave with your purse. Welcome into Brandon, to Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogues, I've missed you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Missed you guys, too.
Well, thank you so much. Basketball thoughts? Did you break anything at home when you saw the final score?
No. In fact, that's probably sort of the source of a lot of the grumbling today, is that particular result yesterday actually isn't that shocking. It is, but it also isn't, which is probably the bigger problem. You know, it was apparent from the very first few minutes of that game that Gardner-Webb was going to pack it in and just say, "Here you go, Nebraska. If you can shoot 40% from three, then you will beat us as expected." If you don't, you might have a game on your hands, and the latter is exactly what happened.
Where are you at right now? Here's what I just laid out, what I think is happening. I think there's time to turn it around. I think the Nebraska fan base likes Tim Miles. I don't think they like what they see offensively on the court. So if you turn it around and you're more competitive and maybe you steal an upset or two, the if game, then I think folks will dial back on the scream for blood today. And this thought about just going out and finding the next guy, because who wouldn't want to come to Nebraska? And they get that it's a different sell football than basketball wise, but facilities are, it's just tough. It's tough here. And that's been proven because you've had a narrow line of success really by one guy. Okay. Danny Nee, with a lot of good in-state talent to help boost things. And it's never really been the same since. And it's not easy to go back that route and be special. I mean, those teams, that coach, they were special. It worked out well. And right now, you've got a lot of talent on paper that needs to produce on the court. And that's my biggest question mark is, are they going to get better? Will they get better together? And that's where the jury's out for me, because I don't know if this team's listening to him, if they'll respond, or if they're just sick of their situation and their head coach.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. What was really lost there yesterday, aside from the game, is a little bit of wiggle room. You know, so now you do need one of those. You do need a winning streak, basically. I mean, you know, Nebraska could open Big Ten play, 4-0, pull off a couple upsets. Crazier things have happened. And then, the only reason we're talking about the Gardner-Webb game is because it changed everything. Mm-hmm. So, a little bit of it is just sort of the latest loss. It's the biggest thing because it's the last thing you have to react to. But you're right. There's a lot of time. I'm not personally hitting the panic button yet. Yesterday, though, was certainly alarming. And considering where you came into this season with Nebraska basketball, the fact that this is the third year a loss like that has happened, there's a cumulative effect there. So I understand why people are a little bit uneasy.
Vogues, I want to switch to football recruiting. Yesterday you had a decommitment for the Husker football team, tight end Race Lieto. That's the second decommitment in 1 week. You haven't had a commitment maybe since early September. Do you think Husker fans are a little close to hitting the panic button at all with Husker football recruiting?
Yeah, I think that one might be closser and maybe a little bit more justifiable at this point. That streak without a commit is concerning. The decommits, that sort of stuff happens. It's kind of like, if you're running a business, it's just breakage. You're going to have some. but you don't want some of your big money. Reese Littell was probably going to play a lot. I thought he was a really good player. So that one hurts. And that one hurts in particular because it doesn't seem like Nebraska did anything wrong, but a kid from the best high school program in Oklahoma got an Oklahoma offer, and then he took a visit to Texas. So Nebraska kind of just got the trump card played a little bit, and it's tough. What do you do about that? You fix it by winning more games, and maybe that helps you. But some of those things are just kind of tough to contend with. I think they're in a spot right now, well, everybody thinks so, where they really need something good to happen. They could use a commit or two just to kind of turn the tide a little bit, because for most of the summer, recruiting, the way this class was coming together, is sort of what this staff was hanging its hat on. Now it's kind of back to where most of Nebraska's past six or seven classes have been.
We have deemed it a Hug a Husker Fan Monday. That's how we started that. Between volleyball, football recruiting, and basketball, you just need to hug a fellow Husker fan. Brandon Vogel with this, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Here's my question, and you brought it up a minute ago with, does Nebraska need to win more? And Nebraska is a blue blood. That's the pitch. Also, Coach Riley, also Langsdorf, also Perella. I mean, there are guys that have NFL background, plus there's playing time to be had. That's the assumption, okay? So you have all of that. Nebraska, from an evaluation standpoint, has been incredible. And when kids flip, it's not that they're flipping to someone that is brutal. I mean, this is Tom Herman. This is OU. This is two teams that one that is handing out millions because, you know, 6-6 or whatever Charlie Strong's done isn't good enough. So let's bring in Tom Herman and his staff and what he's done. So you have the assumption that Herman's going to be incredible at Texas and Texas will be back. And then you also have this aura of, well, they've won recently. They've won at a higher level than Nebraska has recently. Is that just a fact that Nebraska fans and recruiting fans eventually will have to accept? You're a blue blood. You got a great brand and name. But until you win on the field or are more competitive in big games on the field or even the Iowa game, listen, you may evaluate a kid first and be right. You're going to lose him in the end because someone better than you is going to come in. Nebraska needs to get better.
Yeah, you know, I definitely don't think it would hurt. I have a feeling that if that were to happen over the next 2 years, you would still probably come away a little bit disappointed because you still would lose some kids. I mean, ultimately, I think it comes down to the relationships kids form with their coaches. And being a winning program, having some big notable wins, being a team that's trending upward can help you get in the door, but you still got to sort of build those relationships. And, you know, and Nebraska has done that. To Nebraska's credit, they're evaluating really well, I think. They realize the challenge and know that they have to get in on these kids earlier to sort of give themselves a shot. Like, if Nebraska jumps in on Layton now, they're probably not even getting a conversation.
No.
But because they got there early,
he decommitted from them
for a long time. Yeah.
So they're getting the decommitment. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Well, which you know, is better than not even getting in the door. But you know, you look at a guy like Avery Roberts. That's kind of what you're hoping to do on a large scale. That
right.
That dude committed to Nebraska. He is excited to come here. Whether he saw it in Coach Riley, he saw it in his position coach, Coach Bray. Whatever it is, you know. That's kind of what you see, I think, with guys like Tom Herman. They're able to build that sort of connection on a large scale. Nebraska's still got some work to do, I think, on that front overall, I guess.
Not enough time. 60 seconds. Quick thoughts on McCaffrey.
Don't care, really.
Who the hell Stanford playing in the Sun Bowl? Exactly.
Right. And I'm kind of I enjoy having bowl games to watch. Monday afternoon football is totally awesome. I don't really care who's playing in those games. I'll watch anyone. So if one player is out, you know, it doesn't bother me too much. I totally get where they're coming from. I don't think it's the end of the world as we know it. We'll still be okay.
Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Read Vogue's every morning. The hot reads on HaleVarsity.com. Vogue's also some scintillating stuff when it comes to inside info and thoughts, quite honestly, on HaleVarsity.com in the premium section. Vogue's, we are about 45 seconds out. Tell me here what's been going on. What's up next with Hale Varsity?
Yeah, well, we just shipped a new issue to the printer today, and there you'll get some sort of a recap in Nebraska's volleyball season, one that didn't end the way a lot of people wanted it to, but was still pretty remarkable. Got a Music City Bowl preview in there. Got some pretty good interviews with a couple of volleyball players for Q&A, and I also really like our Hail to the Fan. I think people will really enjoy that one when they see it. I'm not going to give it away what it is, but it's one of the better ones that we've done.
And Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, we'll catch up again. Have fun. Thanks a ton, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll talk McCaffrey next.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HaleVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're doing okay. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. You can chime in on Nebraska basketball if you're done or you're still holding out hope? Was this rock bottom or the beginning of a turnaround? 466-377-6800-825-5865. Blackshirt Charlie McBride is 15 to 20 minutes away. Jake Milhuizen will join us next hour as well. 800-825-5865 or at @Schmidt_radio, @TJ_Henning, or @HaleVarsity on Twitter. We will get into recruiting and some of that along with Nick Gates and his comments to Rich Kipus of the Omaha World Herald from a leadership standpoint, interested in that direction of the Nebraska football program. Is the leadership, is there going to be a new sheriff in town? And let's talk Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette. I know you guys hit on Leonard Fournette on Friday a bit. Now, Christian McCaffrey has said no mas to the Sun Bowl. I don't know. The jury's out on if El Paso's beautiful this time of year. John's been hanging on the line. John, welcome into Hail Varsity Radio. John, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
I got a cold. I've been watching Nebraska basketball in person since Bush, and my expectations for Nebraska basketball are much different than they are for Nebraska football. And I guess my thing is, after 5 years and the crowd I hang around are sort of, this is it. We need a change. And part of it, you know, I really like Danny Knee, I like Doc, and the rest of the guys, you know. And it's just hard for me to connect or feel personally, you know, connected to our present coach. He's sometimes a little bit arrogant. He sometimes points the finger at somebody
else. John, you're the
first
guy that I'm hearing say, timid, my guy. People loved this guy when he got here.
Well, I'm just saying that's where I'm coming from and some of the people I'm coming at. I guess my thing is he always has an excuse and he points the finger at other people.
He pointed the thumb four times on Sunday. I'll give him that.
Oh no, I don't mean that. I don't mean that on the, you know, watching the game or anything like that. I mean, I'm just saying it always seems like he has an excuse, whether you like him personally or not. It makes, to me and my friends, it makes a difference if you can connect to a person.
You got to perform. That's what you're PO'd about is the performance.
And I can't see him more than if he wins this next game tomorrow. I'll be six. I don't see him getting more than six wins in the big, you know, in our conference.
Big Ten's really down this year.
I don't think the season's going to keep him here. I really don't.
John, thanks for the phone call, partner. Appreciate you listening in. Yeah, I mean, the thing that has won people into Tim's corner has been, A, the tournament run. That was awesome. And, B, the fact that he's funny. He's a soundbite. He gets how to play the social media and the perception game.
Yeah, relatable.
He's a guy that you don't want to hate. But there are Nebraska basketball fans that now are just done with the offensive output, and they're done with the lack of production and results. And maybe you're overreacting, maybe you're jumping to conclusions. And also there's been 4 years now since a tournament run. So you also have thank you. Slap me. I'm not trying to bury this guy. No, I'm trying to be fair.
Yeah.
So, listen, you want to see, based on what you have in the cupboard, if you buy into the hype, and also some results, because, you have guys that are playing and getting paid professionally to play ball that have been through here the last 3 years. You want to see results, and you haven't. And he owned up 1,000% to Gardner Webb, and he probably knew it was going to be one of those type of days. Maybe not lose, but play awful.
And I don't know if John was alluding to this or not, but you know, obviously Tim Miles did point the thumb at himself a lot yesterday, but he also did bring up the crowd yesterday. And
he was, but here,
that on Twitter, that got a lot of run as blaming the crowd.
Play the soundbite.
Yeah, to me, he was asked a lot about, you know, how do you explain this loss, and well, he's just naming off all the reasons, and the crowd one of them.
Find the soundbite. Listen. He was asked about the lack of energy. And you know where lack of energy comes from? Lack of energy comes from where's your team mentally after they've shot horribly the last several games? Are they beaten down confidence-wise because of the schedule strength they've played? And are guys comfortable with their role? Are guys PO'd because they're benched? Are guys forcing it too much because they want to win and they like coach and they want coach to be able to get off coach's back? There's so many things swirling here. Or they could just be sick of coach keeping them 40 minutes longer on a Friday because they didn't give a damn at practice on Friday. So you have so many different emotions and, mm-hmm. and mindsets, and he said it was a mindset game. That's what it was. He wasn't blaming the crowd at all.
Yeah, no.
He knew it.
I've seen worse crowds at Bob.
Listen, he's not blaming the crowd at all on this. He was asked about it.
The smallest crowd I've ever seen in Pinnacle Bank Arena. We told our guys before the game it was going to be. We got a bad weather. You got a lot of things going on. You know, we're going to have to create our own energy. We talked about that. We didn't. You know, you come out, you don't get any big play. You don't make a three. You don't get a dunk. You don't do anything. And that just fed into it.
Right. He knew no one wanted to pay to watch this thing on Sunday. You got Christmas shopping, holiday shopping. The weather sucks.
It's minus it's 10 out.
It's Gardner Webb. They're
students
on the
on break.
They're on a tail end of getting punched by really good teams, and they're a far cry mentally from where they were against UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking like the balloon, okay? A little air has been let out since Creighton.
Yeah, I'm interested to talk to Muehlheisen later because it seems to offensively gone downhill ever since after that UCLA game.
They don't know what the hell they want to do.
Vatech, they just implemented that zone.
The other part of it, too, is
that.
If we're being honest, is UCLA probably didn't even like care that Nebraska was on the schedule. UCLA's defense is optional because they just want to score and score and score.
Yeah. They didn't know they were going to have us, too, with that tournament
that's
format.
That's the mindset that's got to change here, is you've got to make the system you're in executable, if that's a word, fun. And I'm not saying abandon defense because defense wins, but your priority, you need to shift into a free-flowing offensive type game. And that's been your biggest bugaboo is your offense has been stagnant. It's been very poor, and you got to win with defense. You got to pitch shutout. You got to shift that mentality and shift that prioritization. And you got to let the young kids go do their thing, and the old guys need to come along for the ride and just go play. Get some transition, get some tempo, get some isolation, get some screen and roll. And guess what? Get to the rim. Get to the rim. They didn't play awful against Kansas. They took 7 threes. That's why. We'll wind down hour one.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away. We'll get Coach's take on McCaffrey, recruiting philosophy, Santa outfits. Jake Muehlheisen, also the next hour. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Sauter Heyman. How about you go see Santa Rick? It's Hug a Husker Monday based on volleyball, recruiting, and basketball. Rick can make you feel okay. When it comes to offering instant discounts and giving away free trips with a qualifying purchase, get a hug from Mama. Go find her something from Sauter Heyman this holiday season. And while you're at it, get a free trip. A trip to Vegas, a trip to Cancun. All it's going to take is a trip down to see Sauter Heyman and Rick. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. See what they have this holiday season. When only the best will do. SauterHeyman.com. So let me say this. When it comes to coaching and motivating, there are different ways to work. And I'm going to give juniors, coaches, a little shout-out. I love how they motivate. And it can be through fear. like you're going to have to ride home with Mr. Schmidt if you don't start boxing out. To look, if the kid that's D'ing you up is a booger eater and has two left feet, drive it, son. Get it handled. They're at a young age, very impressionable. Yeah.
Can you motivate them with the cupcakes afterwards if they win?
Coffee is for closers and steak knives for second place is the motto. They have a T-shirt. That's their warm-up.
All right.
So I am more than happy to just sit back, see how they respond tomorrow, see how they respond in Big Ten play. And there's been so much blood in the collective water in the state of Nebraska. Just in most sports, there's unrest, there's unhappiness. Championships haven't been won. There's a hiatus, and there is such a want for them. And I get that. It's been made to look easy for the last 25 years from 70. Again, not to go all T.O. on you here, but the guy was great.
Yeah.
And the way he recruited, and we'll talk to Coach McBride about that. I mean, you can swing for the fences, as in, let's go get Emmett Smith or Marshall Faulk, or, and they did. They had him. Let's go get Broderick Thomas. Let's go get Neil Smith. Well, Neil Smith, nobody knew about. Jack Pierce knew about him. Let's go get Lawrence Phillips. Now, Lawrence had his issues, but you saw how good he was. Let's go get Jason Peter. Let's go get Christian Peter. Let's go get Grant Wistrom. Let's go get Phil Ellis from Central Nebraska. I mean, that worked. That system, the depth, the talent. And then the cycle of when you're playing for national championships or you're on the cusp of it every year or every 5 years. It's incredible. Different era, too. Not worse, not better, just different. So we'll talk some recruiting with Coach McBride. Hope you're all right on a Monday. We'll continue on Hour 2. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my day!
Hey, my day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big, big!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Maybe we'll see him this week before he and we are off for a lot of bowl week. We are efforting Coach Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach McBride brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus, protect loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, employees protected when it comes to hearing plans, dental, vision, and retirement. 130 years and counting of peace of mind from Emeritus. Proud to stand by Husker Athletics and fans like you. Proud to bring you Charlie McBride here on Hail Varsity Radio. TJ is holding his breath. We have him. Almost. TJ is mouthing, almost. Now we're going to play Guess the Temperature with Charlie. And he's going to win. We welcome in legendary defensive coordinator, Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, I'm indoors and I can still see my breath. How are you?
Well, I'm living at my son's house. All my furniture's gone to Michigan, and we're about as messed up as you can get. But it is 75 degrees.
See, I was going to play Guess the Temperature. All right, you have 75. If I'm in a card game right now, I'm folding. What are we at? Are we at like 22 in Lincoln?
27.
Ah, yes. 27.
27's good temperature, though.
Yeah.
It's about, when it gets down, below about
10 degrees in Rudy is ugly for me.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. So, well, Coach, I want to start off by, there's a lot to get to today, but I want to talk about recruiting. And here's what I know. I know that Coach Osborne's staff and you and Jack and George, I mean, just the staff that was together for so long, you guys were so relentless about recruiting and working. And Coach Solich, mm-hmm. I mean, all of you, you knew how to eye talent. You knew how to project. You knew how to develop. Mm-hmm. You knew how to build for depth. And, right. you knew how to be cohesive with different parts of the country, also intertwined with, you know, Nebraska kids and walk-ons. Mm-hmm. And where was that philosophy born? And from a standpoint of being able to get a kid to pick you over a Notre Dame, to pick you over an Oklahoma, to pick you over an SC, how are you guys able to be so successful at that? Because right now Nebraska has been in on a ton of talented kids. They've evaluated exceptionally, but just recently they lost one kid to Texas because, well, it's Texas and Tom Herman, and it's closer to home, and there's bigger upside in this kid's mind. And I'm not knocking the kid. I just want him to be happy. How did you guys fine tune and become so effective?
Well, I think the biggest thing was is what we get and Tom's philosophy growing up in Nebraska. He really was a state first guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't mess around with, you know, when you look at name the Outland Award winners.
All Nebraska kids.
Can you name? Yeah. Okay. Well,
Steinkuhler, Remington. Yeah. Who else? Right. Wiggert, and you have right. Will Shields was an Oklahoma kid, but 4 out of 5.
Right. Well, the point I'm saying is there are kids you have to develop in the state, and that was what we really did with the walk-ons. But we really paid attention, and I know when we only took 4 kids in the state, Tom was really upset about that. We usually had about 6, and maybe sometimes, you know, I don't know if we went to 8, but we at least you had 6 kids signed, you know, in the state a year. And then we had some kids that sometimes you'd tell them that, you know, if you come, we'll give you a scholarship in a year. We don't have one right now. And we got probably 2 or 3 kids come that way, you know, on occasion, maybe more than that over the years. But, you know, but that's one of the ways. And they paid their own way the first year as a walk-on, and then we scholarshiped them. And I know one kid didn't turn out to be good, and I said to Tom, what do we do? And he said, a deal's a deal. And so he got a scholarship, and that was the way it was, and that's the way we treated it. The other thing, too, is if you look back when we went, Coach Osborne, the number one thing we did was brought in walk-ons every weekend. We brought kids in that we knew about every weekend. We didn't. Some of them may have been already offered. Some of them weren't, but they mm-hmm. we had a chance to get them as walk-ons, and they could come to the game, and their parents, they had to pay their own tickets, but they came. And I think you could give them tickets at the time, but they had to pay for their food and stuff like that. I don't know exactly. But sure. And then Tom would talk to them all, whether they're scholarship, they mixed them all together, because we tried to never really differentiate between a scholarship and a walk-on. And, the scholarship kids didn't know who had a scholarship and who didn't, you know. And that wasn't part of the deal. The part of the deal was they're all one team, and it didn't make any difference. The other thing that we want, Tom said to me one time, I said, what is the deal with all this this recruiting ranking? He said, well, I've looked at it over the years, and if we're lower than 30, we haven't done very good. He says, I like it when we're about 30 in the nation. Mm-hmm. And we want, you know, everybody's 5 point this guy, 4 point this guy. And I remember we played UCLA a couple of years, and they had the number one recruiting classes in the country, and we only beat them by 40 points and, you know, and stuff like that. So that's a bunch of garbage. And what happens is these kids get brain, they you think you got them, And when it comes right down to it, that's the easiest thing in the world for them to tell you, well, I'm going to stay around by my mommy and daddy, you know. And you know that could happen, and so you got to really work our area. Now, I know in the state this year, I've had people call me and ask me what the heck's going on. There's a kid that committed to Wyoming. Those kids you don't let go. You don't let some kid go to Wyoming or something that's one of the best linemen in the state, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, those things we really worked at. I worked at one kid at Creighton Prep, a big lineman, and his parents came up with him, and they told me, he said, Coach, we came up, you know, out of respect for your program and everything, but my son's been in a parochial school all his life, and he would like to go to Notre Dame. And I said, hey, that's a family thing, you know. You don't have to apologize to me for anything, you know. I mean, that's something that you do what you do. And, you know, I think one of the kids we lost one time was stationed out of a central linebacker who ended up being an All-American at Iowa, by the way, but never made it in the pros. He didn't have the speed to do it. But I think what you do is you get one guy to run the state. And as far as I know, I don't know who that guy is. And I do know that a lot of the coaches have mentioned that they haven't seen a Nebraska guy, and they all go run out to California. Well, that's what Colorado did. Colorado ran out to California and finally figured out that we're getting thirds and fourths. You know, we're not getting the great ones. We're getting the guys that are third and fourth, and they weren't really improving their stuff. So they started expanding a little bit, you know, their program and stay and, you know, go to other states and do things. And it worked out for them and pretty good, and took a couple JC kids here and there, and that was it. We never took a JC kid unless we had a definite position that we had to fill. And, you know, a kicker or, you know, whatever, something that we had to fill. I know we had one the first year I was there, a tight end, and we got a tight end from a junior college who turned out to be a very good player. And, you know, so as a rule, they weren't all. Jarvis Redwine was working on a construction, and he heard Nebraska would take walk-ons, and he had grades, and, you know, he came out, and I Am Hip's girlfriend paid for the bus to bring him. I mean, you know, these kids, you know, they were some of the kids we didn't even recruit. And when Jarvis Redwine and I Am Hip came way back when, we didn't even know he's on campus. You know, I mean,
he came to you.
Yeah, he came to us, and there had been some communication. He had written a letter, but he wrote it to administration.
Right.
And it didn't come to us, so we were, you know, and Tom knows about it better than me, but that's kind of how it worked. But the state was the number one thing, and Tom would never leave the state until he saw every kid that we were interested in. As soon as that season ended, he was in the state. And I don't know a head coach. He'd come in on Friday, he looked awful. I mean, he was driving all over the place and stuff like that, and he really worked hard at recruiting. And like I said before, he told me my number one job is recruiting, your number two job is coaching. And I've said this 100 times, Woody Hayes was a friend of the families and put his arm around me one day, and he said, you want to be a good coach? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, get good players.
Charlie McBride's with us on Hale Varsity Radio, and that's from Coach Woody there. Coach, we got about 4 minutes here. Listen, the state first approach was super successful on the lines of scrimmage, where you guys won and were physical, but you also were smart enough to sprinkle in some skill guys from out of state too. You weren't just all Nebraska. You couldn't be. And and from that, how were you guys able to, was it just because you won? I mean, the worst you ever did was 9-3. I mean, was that just the difference maker? I mean, obviously the kids liked you and trusted you, and you get an education. There's so much to offer when at Nebraska, but I mean, getting guys like a Wistrom, getting guys like Ralph and Mike Brown, getting guys like, who am I forgetting here? Getting a guy like Farley. I mean, guys that were, and then how about Steve Taylor and Turner Gill? I mean, two of your big time quarterback gets too from Texas and California. I mean,
right.
That you guys did a pretty good job of meshing, didn't you?
Well, we really zeroed in, and we found somebody in Texas, and we had good success with going down in Texas. You know, we way back when we had Calvin and David Clark, for example, you know, linemen that were really, you know, really good players out of Texas. And so we had some success out of there. Milt worked that area pretty good, and then we even had a couple of kids out of Oklahoma. The rule there was they stayed out of our territory, we stayed out of theirs. and that's the way it kind of was. I mean, it was kind of an unknown deal. You know, if I went down there and saw a kid, boy, the next day there'd be Oklahoma coaches all over that place, and they weren't going to lose a kid to Nebraska. And that's the way I feel about the state. When you get a good enough player, you got to coach them. You got coach written on your shirt. Mm-hmm. And last time when Pelini was there, they had a kid that went to Stanford who was a 4.0 student and supposedly the best lineman in the state.
Harrison Phillips.
And the reason they didn't take him was they didn't know where they'd play him. Please, you know, that's a terrible excuse. You're a coach, find out, get him in there and find out where he can play. And stuff like that, that's no excuse not to take a kid in state. But I think that they're going to have to learn that way, because I'll tell you, if it doesn't, you know, if you just depend on walk-on kids, you know, and there are going to be some that will make it and do well. But I don't think it works that way. I think if you look at the pipeline, you know, those kids that were on that offensive line, you can't find many guys that weren't from Nebraska. And when you're that way, you've got loyalty to each other. You're from the same place. And it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And kids will play better at Nebraska if they're Nebraskans than they would at Texas.
Yeah.
They're out of their element, you know, and, so that's kind of, you know, we approached it with the parents, knowing every step of the way where they stood, what was going on exactly. And one of the things that you would always feel good about is if they told you sometimes, coach, thanks for being so honest. And, you know, they know when some guy's pulling their chain. And so it worked with that kind of approach. And a lot of guys, I've seen a lot of coaches get mad at kids and mad at parents for changing and doing that. You know, I don't do that, because most of the kids that start changing around and everything else, you know, they don't do so hot. You know, you have to have some honor. If you commit, you know, to us, that was a commitment. If you visited another place, the commitment was dead then. Yeah.
Charlie McBride with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. We are off for about a week with the holidays and the bowl games, but we will catch up soon. And thanks again for a few minutes today, and thanks for your time on the Recruiting Philosophy.
Well, Merry Christmas to all you guys, and Happy New Year, and everything to all the people in the state. And, you know, we're going to get back as soon as we can to that area and, you know, have some fun.
No, we can't wait to see you, Coach. You take care. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There he is.
Bye.
Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. That flew, and that was so good on the Recruiting Philosophy that cranked out three national championships. Jake Mielheisen up next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're all right. Thanks to Coach Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Great insight as to Nebraska's recruiting philosophy and how they attacked not only in-state but out-of-state, the evaluation process. A standout from Lincoln Southeast and a standout at Nebraska. Jake Mielheisen with us on Hail Varsity Radio to talk a little bit about yesterday and what happens moving forward. Jake, happy holidays, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy holidays to you as well.
Well, there's no good explanation for yesterday. The question now is what's next? What happens with Nebraska basketball this season? Big Ten play looms, a game tomorrow night, and you're a basketball guy. You know the game. You know the offense and defense. You know Coach Miles. I want to start off by asking you, on the offensive side of the ball, can you explain I watch it. You've played it at a high level. What does Nebraska, what's their intention offensively? It hasn't looked good, but that's not what they want, obviously.
Right, and I think it's almost as simple as guys being ready to shoot and having some confidence. And
okay.
You know, I think with the offense that we're running, I think Miles trusts his guys to run, you know, more of a motion offense. I get asked a lot, why aren't we running more, you know, more sets on offense? And, you know, he kind of has a quick hitter to get the ball in a guy's hands that he wants. And then we kind of play motion from there. So I think he's trusting those guys to, you know, understand, you know, who has the ball, where to set screens, and kind of play within a motion offense. And for whatever reason, the guys just kind of seem to hesitate right now, whether they're, you know, trying to penetrate or open for a shot. So it sounds pretty simple, but I think if these guys just be ready to shoot and pop up and shoot with some confidence, that would help a lot.
Okay, can you turn these guys into shooters? Or what I'm thinking the latter is, you just maybe not have the shooters on your roster this season.
Yeah, I mean, you watch the guys shoot, and you watch them in warm-ups, and you know, let's use Mike Jacobson as an example. He has a nice-looking jumper, mm-hmm. but, you know, he's not making them. You know, I think you know, Glenn Watson, you know, has a really good mid-range game. He can do that. You know, McVay has a good jumper, but nobody's making any shots. So I think you try to change your offense a little bit to kind of accommodate how the season has gone. And obviously these guys that you thought were going to shoot the ball better haven't, especially like a guy like McVay, who was supposed to be your knockdown three-point shooter. So I think if you would have asked me before season, I would have said we had, you know, a decent group of shooters, and now we're just kind of, you know, I don't know if we have the shooters that can you know, make those shots we need them to make.
Jake, when you look at this roster, the top 150, top 100 talent, and I know recruiting rankings are recruiting rankings, and eventually it's all got to transfer onto the court and either live up to that to be accurate. Are guys out of position, out of role, or is there still just a search to find the best way for these guys to succeed in a role that helps the team? Where's that gray area at right now in this process? And what do you do now on the heels of another, what's this team's name and how did they lose to these guys type loss?
Yeah. I mean, you know, losing a game like that yesterday, I think the guys' confidence are going to be, you know, it'll be hurt. You know, I don't think we had a whole lot going into that game to begin with. And I don't think that guys are necessarily out of position, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, guys just haven't been able to make shots when they're in those positions, you know, whether it's Glenn Watson, whether it's, you know, Jack McVay, you know, Isaiah Roby, mm-hmm. You go down the list and you have guys that are top 100 recruits. Like you said, they're not able to get to the spots they want to. Or when they are in the spots and they get an open look, they're not popping up with the confidence like they should. So I don't know, and I haven't been to a practice, so you don't know what,
right?
You know what Coach Miles is telling these guys is, you know, if Roby hasn't made a 3-point jumper in practice, even though it looks good in the game, you know, he probably shouldn't shoot one in the game. And we're looking at it as from fans and saying, well, he's open, he should shoot it. So I guess I don't know what these guys have done in practice, but if you watch them in warmups, And you see how they played against, you know, the UCLAs, the Clemsons, where, you know, they look pretty dang good. And I think we've almost played UCLA the toughest so far out of anybody in the country. And they're, you know, obviously top five team and, mm-hmm. You know, doing what they're doing. So we look great at times, but we're just not consistently able to maintain, you know, a high level of offense. So I think we have the right guys. I just think they need to make some shots.
Jake, I'm not trying to bring up any bad memories or anything, but did you, in your Husker career under Collier, have a loss like this to a no-name school at all?
I was trying to think of that today. I don't think that we ever did.
Okay.
Unless I just completely erase it out of my mind. But I know we didn't. I don't think we ever. The only one that I can think of was we went on the road and lost at Pacific. And that was my freshman year, but I don't think that was that bad of a loss. Okay. When you're on the road. Yeah. But I can't. I need to go back through and look. Unless, have you looked it up? Did we lose anybody like this?
Well, the last memory, I think back in 08, 09.
My memory serves that you won the Pella Classic every year, brother, so you're good.
My last memory was the University of Maryland, Baltimore County back in 08, 09. And then,
yeah, I remember that one.
And I think Doc had maybe won against SIU Edwardsville exhibition where he lost. But, okay, never mind then. But
we'll get you throwing darts here to our guest, TJ.
Yeah, just keeping him on his toes. I brought up expectations earlier. You lose your two best players. You end up playing the toughest schedule. Shouldn't we expect maybe there to be, you know, that this team would struggle like this?
Yeah, you could have, and especially when you lose Andrew White, you know, somewhat unexpectedly. And, you know, you read a lot of stuff online. I don't really know, you know, his reason for transferring, but it sounded like it was for the better. You know, when it comes to team chemistry, and team chemistry doesn't necessarily equal wins either. But I know the guys, from when I've traveled with the guys when I was out in L.A., they seem to get along a lot better than what they have in years past, which mm-hmm. you hope that would create some more wins. But I think the expectations were high for these guys. Just I mean, not extremely high, obviously, with the rankings coming out in the Big Ten and the preseason stuff, but we could have expected this, especially with having the toughest schedule so far. But we've shown at times that we can score. I mean, even at KU, you know, we scored 72 at KU, obviously against a good team. So we showed at times that we can play at a pretty high level offensively. My expectations for this team was to finish sixth in the Big Ten and even go to the tournament before the year. But I'm a little biased, and mm-hmm. now I'm rethinking my expectations a little bit, but hopefully these tough games that we played can translate into a good conference slate. And the conference is down. I mean, you have three really good teams in Indiana, Purdue, and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. After that, it's not the Big Ten like it has been in years past.
Jake Muehleisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Husker standout, and Lincoln Southeast standout, at Jake Muehl on Twitter. You mentioned chemistry, and this is something that, I mean, you hear things, you talk to people, and from a chemistry standpoint between players and coach, at some point either you rally together as a group or it turns into Charlie Brown's teacher kind of talking to you and you just hear noise. Do you feel like, from, again, maybe you know, maybe you don't, but based on your basketball antenna, do you feel like the kids on the team are still on board with Tim?
I think so. I don't know why they wouldn't be at this juncture. I know Coach Miles has tweaked with the lineup a little bit, and you know, and I think he's basically trying to challenge some of these guys, you know, like Glenn Watson and whatnot. And you read some things on Twitter and whatnot. You don't know what you can believe and what you don't.
Right.
But I don't think there's any risk of Coach Miles losing the guys or losing the locker room. You know, like when I was around those guys, you know, in L.A., they seem to all get along, and it's hard to read into those situations. Right. But I think Coach Miles is good enough, and the other coaches that he has around him with Molinari and Lewis and Kenya Hunter, that they know the pulse of the team, and they know when to pull back and when to push these guys so they don't lose the locker room.
That's important, and after a loss like this, you got to ask that question. But they've been through this before, and they've had their kind of ups and downs. Jake, what's from your viewpoint, what's it like, what's a guy facing when he is the Nebraska basketball coach, between Barry and Doc, and now you have Tim, who I mean, he set the bar high early, and it shouldn't necessarily be the expectation to go to the tournament every year, but there are some fans that want that, and they're the vocal minority. And you're always kind of looking back to the Danny Nee era, where that was just a sweet era and they were really good. What's a coach facing here? What's really realistic with how you should perform as a Nebraska basketball coach, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have the resources here, you know, with the facilities, the fans, the academic support that you know, we can have a good basketball program. And, you know, going back to Coach Collier, he was a really good coach. You know, I think Doc Sather was a dang good coach, and I think Coach Miles is. And it's just, you know, you got to get the right guys to come here and play, and I think you can. It's just, it is a little more difficult. You know, you kind of see it in football as well to get some guys from, you know, East, West Coast, Texas or whatever to come here and visit. But I think once you get some of those guys on campus, they see the town of Lincoln, they see the university and all the resources that we have, it's a pretty dang nice place. So I think it's a matter of getting guys on campus. And I think, you know, kind of like what you were talking to Coach McBride about, you got to keep your in-state kids here. Mm-hmm. And you got another school up the road that, you know, has got a couple of in-state kids that have panned out pretty well. I know Patton was a project and he's turned out pretty good, but you got to battle for those in-state kids. You can't let guys like, you know, Matt Hill go to Texas, and you know, you can't let guys like that get out of state. So I think it comes down to that. And even I think high school got, kids around here get knocked for not having the competition that, you know, a Chicago has. But, you know, I've seen what some of these Nebraska players can do, and, you know, I'd like to see more in-state kids stay here.
There he is, Jake Mielheisen, former Husker standout, former Southeast standout. We're talking Husker hoops. Jake, we'll catch up again. Happy holidays to you and your family. Great insight, and thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You too. All right, Jake Mielheisen with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Good stuff. And, again, the theme, different sport, same theme. Look at the in-state and keep the in-state here. Good stuff from Jake. And you have the players here. Guy's got to be confident. Guy's got to hit shots. So I appreciate his honesty and insight with what he thinks going on. He was out in Anaheim. Different time now from then, but you saw when they were playing pretty well. We'll continue on after this.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks to Jake Mielheisen for talking some Husker hoops with us. Maybe you needed to speed towards Zipline Brewing after that loss. Hi. It's a little rough. Zipline Brewing. Go find him this holiday season if you're coming into Lincoln from central or western Nebraska or northeast Nebraska. They'll invite you in and a place to sit down with him on their new beer hall at Southeast Lincoln, 56th and Fine Lake. Modern German beer hall, 24 taps, neighborhood bar and community tables. And you'll meet someone new and enjoy a beer and enjoy company. Gold medal winning Copper Alt and nationally recognized IPA. 40 different beers, a beer for you with your friends at Zipline. And if you're so inclined, we invite you to Zipline Brewing in their 56th and Pine Lake location. Also the West O location, tap room Monday through Saturday in 56th and Pine Lake, noon to 10. Also Sunday, noon to 6. They have barrel-aged barley wine. Yes, please. Limited edition barrel-aged barley wine from 2014, 2015, also from 2016. And get yourself a Zipline hat, T-shirt, hoodie, or some gift cards for that beer fan in your life. Brewed in Lincoln, poured for all in Nebraska, Zipline Brewing, available across the state for you. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. A chance for you to get a HailVarsity.com premium online subscription here before we're done. Well, the big news of the day on social media and around football, water coolers, was the trending topic of Christian McCaffrey. Mr. Stanford, Mr. Do Everything, Mr. 3,500 yards total from scrimmage last year. This year, guy who played hurt. The topic Friday, Leonard Fournette. Lenny's saying, forget about it, LSU. I've carried your ass long enough. I'm good. I'm going to be a top 15 pick. Christian McCaffrey, probably a late first round guy. We'll see how things move forward. But he is being either praised. I wouldn't say praised. How about people understand where he's coming from? You're on that side of the aisle with him deciding not to play in the Alamo Bowl. Or you're going, "Whoa, what a quitter." You're just piling on the kid for making a business decision. The arguments are very transparent. Why risk injury and blow millions of dollars? I get it. Why sell out your teammates and not lace it up one more time for the good of dear old Cardinal? Brian Shaw is like, I said Brian Shaw, Coach Shaw, David Shaw. Got my Shaws mixed up. David Shaw's like, "I'm good. Love you, Christian. Thanks for giving me 3 years." The Bowl president of the Sun Bowl, who's like, "How did we ever get a team as good as Stanford here?" It's like, God love him. Mm-hmm. Good luck. Teammates in support. They get it. Here's my take. If the shoes are on the other foot, if I'm lacing up, if I'm as good as Christian McCaffrey, I want to play one more game. Is that short-sighted? Is that stupid? Am I not thinking long-term? Yes. I want to play one more time with my guys. Doesn't matter. I have enough faith that I'll get through it healthy, and if not, then I'm sick about it, but hopefully there's an insurance policy that I can sign. I'm not saying he has to do that. I'm saying if this were me, I would play one more time no matter what. If this were me, I would play. What would you do? What if you're Christian McCaffrey? What if you're Leonard Fournette? What do you do? If you're going to criticize, you better say, "I'm playing." And if you're in agreement with him, the long-term example to point to is a kid out of Notre Dame that could have had 23 million, Smith, Jalen Smith, the linebacker, MCL, ACL.
Yep, that's what I was going to bring up.
Thank you. He got 4.5 guaranteed over 6 years. Should have, could have, would have been a top five pick and guaranteed $23.5 million.
So that's a $19 million difference. Cool boy.
No, it's Grand Canyon, but it's still millions we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, the average day guy would kill for
that. It's going to take you, me, and our favorite relatives a lot of our lifetimes to work and earn that much. So are you blasting Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, or are you in support of them? And what would you do? Is it even a discussion point? Hell no, I'm not playing because of how much money I'm going to be potentially burning. Or do you lace it up one more time with your guys? I play because I want to play one more time with my guys. Knowing the consequence. The other thing that softens my stance on this a bit as to not killing the guy for not playing is, I mean, the guy is shelled out and sold out both these guys are the only offensive weapon these teams have had.
Oh, yeah.
I'm exaggerating a bit, but they're 80, 90% of the offense when I think of, okay?
You don't break the all-purpose yards record without touching the ball a lot.
Exactly. And I look at Lenny, and Lenny's like, man, I gave it 2 years against Alabama, and that was the only guy they were worried about. I tried. I earned 1.9 a carry. Now against Louisville, here's the other thing. NFL scout-wise, that's my biggest question, and we're at our NFL insider. We'll see if we get Russ Landy this week or not. But what are the scouts going to do? Are they going to crush the kid come draft time, or are they going to understand? And I think it varies and depends on the team.
I think NFL's guys get it. Listening to a lot of them today, Lewis Riddick and these guys, they're like, "Hey, yeah, I don't blame you at all. I want to get paid."
I think it's because of the position. I'm more forgiving at running back, and specifically these two instances. These two kids have given it their all. And they played hurt, by the way. They played hurt all year long. So I'm more in agreement with this moving forward. They've already played hurt for their team.
Also, do you think this is somewhat a byproduct of the college football playoff in a sense that we were worried it was going to damage the regular season? It didn't do that at all. But to me, it's kind of damaged the rest of the bowl season unless you're playing not in one of the playoff or BCS bowls.
You've always had lower tier bowls, and you've known what's been more important. Are you playing in the Rose Bowl against Iowa or Stanford? Who are they even playing?
Stanford?
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're pissed, this kid's not playing, it's because you've already submitted your bowl picks for that giant whopping nationwide payoff. That's why you're angry.
$1 million.
Don't hate on him. And I'm a little bit more compassionate towards him because of what he's already done. He's not a sellout. He's not a quitter. He's already sold out for his team. And his teammates are on board with him. His peers are like, we don't want you to play. We'd like you to play, but we get why you're not. So I think it's because of who these two kids are, I'm okay with it. I think if you're
Charles Walker of OU, quitting mid-November, defensive end,
I think you're garbage.
That draws the line.
I think you're garbage. And you're not that good. You're giving up 60 a game at OU. All right, we'll wind down on Monday. Welcome back. Happy holidays.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Good question to Andy Staples on Twitter. Would they play if it was a different bowl game? Yes, they would. Magnitude and a chance to showcase against a better opponent would enhance the draft opportunity, you would think. And you'll see more of this. New era, new age, new world of athlete empowerment. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think that's a bad thing. Because for years, it's been, let's milk this cow till it's out of milk. And here's what I point back to. It's the Alabama example. You have some guys doing well in the NFL from Alabama. You have a lot of guys that are burnt out on football or they have 200,000 miles on their odometer because they were beaten and ridden and ridden and ridden. It's the horse in True Grit where John Wayne or Rooster had to eventually put a bullet in the horse's head because it could not go anymore. Done. To exhaustion. That's what has happened at Alabama. If you're great, they're going to feed you the ball. They're going to ask you to go make plays. They're going to ask you to block. They're going to ask you to do a ton of things. St. Nick doesn't care what you do on the next level because you're there for him. That's just the Alabama example. You have kids now, like Lenny, like Christian, that are going to do what's best for them and their families. I'm okay with that. It's no different than leaving early for the NFL draft. It's no different than hiring an agent that will hopefully help you manage yourself because you're trying to set up your kids, your current family, your future family, and their families, and their families, and their families. I would play, though. So, just got a text from a source in Crimson Tide land. If you have a black practice jersey on at Alabama, it means you're invincible, full contact. So that's maybe a little tribute to the black shirts. I don't know. Pretty good. HailVarsity.com. We ask you to check us out. Find the premium sites and subscription availability for you when it comes to recruiting, the message board community, the inside info, the analysis, and of course the breaking news. You'll have analysis, breaking news, and information tonight from Aaron Sorensen and company regarding recruiting. So you want to check it out. 30 days for you when you sign up, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. About Caller 6 right now, and you get a free 6-month online subscription. Caller 6, free 6-month online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. Caller 6 now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks.